Cliff Schechter. Of course, Unprecedented is the podcast. You can listen to that via the Patreon stream there, as well as also he is Blue Am Strategies has relaunched. They are doing ads in English, Spanish, and also one of the only the three firms that did ads for Biden last year. So a top-notch organization, Blue Am Strategies. I'll link to that a little bit later on. Cliff is kind enough today to join us about what's going to start happening tomorrow. Hi, Cliff.
I like that voice. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. The what? Of course, tomorrow the 1-6 Commission gets going. And long overdue, frankly, considering what exactly happened on 1-6, obviously.
Yeah.
But I want to start off by making sure we understand the playing field, because as the Republicans are going crazy, I actually think that the Pelosi and the Democrats gave them too much power. At least they tried to. And twice the Republicans voted down a bipartisan commission on the 1-6, which would have allowed them to bring in Jim Jordan and all these people to kind of derail it. They insisted they were incensed by it. And now they have basically painted themselves into a corner to where now this is going to happen, whether they like it or not. And there's going to be a lot of ugly information, I think, that comes out to the public.
Yes. And it needs to. And it couldn't be better for our democracy and worse for them. This was never going to end in a good way for them. I'm not sure why all the posturing. I'm not sure why all the kind of fighting. I mean, I suppose they're just throwing more red meat to their base, as if they need to do any more with, you know, the idiocy around, ooh, critical race theory is coming to get your kids and your cats and, you know, maybe your plants and whatever else they're talking about this week. I mean, it's this constant stream of sort of freaking out their base, right? But I mean, on this, I don't think people are going to pay attention to sort of what the details are in the way they would like them to, not most people. So, you know, in some way, there was going to be a commission that was going to look at things that you guys did. And a number of you are quite obviously complicit in it. You know, obviously starting with Donald Trump and those around him, but in Congress, those like Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs and Matt and Mo Brooks, who either spoke at these things or were you know, involved with some of these characters. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, the two goofballs who have hung out with in the time since and the time did in the time before, people that actually showed up and raided our Capitol, attacked it, committed sedition. And my guess is we're going to find a ton more connections here, because the far right has been so integrated in the Republican Party, the Proud Boys, the neo-Nazi right, the incels, the rest of these groups, that they're almost synonymous. Right. I mean, they've almost become the same organism. So my guess is that there's a lot of complicity there. And the fact that there's still even a couple decent Republicans left means that they always are going to lose this, because, you know, whether we can guess what her reasoning is or what it isn't. But Liz Cheney quite clearly didn't go for all this and wants to get to the bottom of it. And by the way, her name's Cheney. People have heard of that name before. She's not some random Republican. And Adam Kinzinger has made a name for himself. He's an Air Force veteran. He's somebody who came in as a Tea Party, you know, darling. He's not going to be as easy, you know, to attack either. And they're now both on the commission. They both want to know what's up. And the truth of the matter is Republicans have so gone after them so personally that they've got something to settle too. So I don't see anything good coming of this for them. They've taken something that already was going to be bad and made it worse.
Well, and let's go to Mo Brooks, because he, you know, and you and I talked about this the last time you were on the air. Mo Brooks has admitted something which is pretty stunning, is that he said, well, I was told to get these people there by the Trump campaign. And so he's already kind of laying the foundation of the, you know, the Nuremberg trials, I was following orders sort of thing. But he clearly is, hey, I'm just a part of the party. Party told me we wanted to get Trump, all his supporters out there. So, you know, even though I indeed did say get out there and throw the red meat at these people, I was only doing what Trump said, which is a huge admission, because once again, there's Mo Brooks saying this came from the top. You know, and I think at the end of the day, I know that a lot of Republicans, why they're so infuriated about this is because they don't want to be seen as being a traitor, but there comes a point where you're in a courtroom or you're under oath and you're going to have to admit, well, yeah, I was told to rile up the troops and get them over to Washington, D.C. on the 6th to try to storm the Capitol. And you know, and at the end of the day, they don't want anything to do with it. Not necessarily because they're guilty, but because they don't want to see how that makes them look to the rest of the Republican Party.
or, you know, the rest of the human race.
Exactly. Well, they don't care about them. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, look at these clowns. They don't really care about any Democrat or independent. They only care about their base basically getting back into office.
Well, that's true, but their base, you know, and luckily for them, a lot of the House districts are gerrymandered like crazy. But some of these guys, when suburban, white, well-educated Americans used to be Republicans, remember that? As recently as a decade ago, gerrymandered to create themselves those districts. And they're still, you know, they still have to win people that no longer consider themselves Republicans in those districts. So you're right. The only people they really care about are their base. But some of these folks have to actually win people who are not in their base to win, or at least not them, have them be so offended by the stench of sedition, which is what we're looking at here, and creating a violent atmosphere that led to the death of and suicide of a number of Capitol police officers, and the gouging, stabbing, beating, stamping, punching of, you know, 140 others by the supposed pro-police party, that, you know, that all is going to come forward, and there are going to be emotional stories. I'd be shocked if you don't have, you know, Brian Sicknick's, you know, widow speaking. What was the other one? Oh, it was a horrible story. I can't think of her name right now, whose husband committed suicide a few days afterwards and was so distraught over it that she asked for that bipartisan commission they rejected. You know, there are going to be all sorts of people like this that are going to, come forward and testify. And they're going to call for some of the Jim Jordans to do it, you know, to have to come forward. So, I mean, they can try all their sort of clown tricks in the world. But, I mean, there's a reason that they're doing what they're doing. There's a reason they suppress votes. There's a reason they're trying to basically shut down polling places, you know, in all of these states and make sure that people can't vote in black neighborhoods, in brown neighborhoods, in often white, well-educated neighborhoods, because they can't win people anymore in most places. Because that's how gross they've become, you know? Yeah. It's not much really more complicated than that. And this thing is going to blow that wide open. Some of them may end up going to prison out of it. Certainly some of them may have to leave office for it. And again, they've just made it worse with their behavior, but this is what they always do.
And then let's talk, I mean, you brought up already Cheney and Kinzinger volunteering basically to be a part of this committee, being asked to be a part of it by Speaker Pelosi. They say they're going to be part of it. As you say, I think the Cheney connection, obviously as a former vice president, I mean, Dick Cheney was not a nice guy. But I don't think he shot
his friends in the face. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
he had his faults. There are some minuses. But he also did, this is not the sort of thing Cheney would have gone for as the vice president. His daughter clearly feels the same way. Kinzinger, a very toss up district, and he's shown that he is much more of a moderate, much more like 80s moderate Republican. You know, the fact that these two people are on this, I mean, once again, their entire argument was it's only Democrats. Well, outside of those two, but even today, McCarthy is trying to label them as Pelosi Republicans.
Right.
You know, it is interesting. Are we at a moment, a Whig Party moment with the Republicans where they, you know, the Whig Party put out a pro-slavery stance and, you know, alienated a lot of Whigs who basically left and formed at that point the Republican Party and said we're anti-slavery. Are we at that point now where McCarthy is like, okay, if you're going to be a member of the Republican Party, Trump never has lied. Trump has never deceived. Trump is always the God, and Trump ranks above the country and God and Jesus and everyone else. And that is just, that's the hierarchy you have to take, because if they do that, that's going to have some pretty serious consequences, especially when it comes to moderate Republicans.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is again, they're realizing this. And so, what you see them doing is in every place where they possibly can, winning through non-democratic means. You know, they're either purging people off of voting rolls, or they're changing rules for elected officials after they've gotten in power. They've done that in North Carolina and Wisconsin, who have elected Democratic governors, or they're using a filibuster, something that was not in the Constitution, was an accidental creation, and has been abused by McConnell in a way used 90% of the time it's been used in our histories by Mitch McConnell. You know, or they're gerrymandering seats, or they're putting on, you know, people like Brett Kavanaugh without allowing the FBI to do an actual investigation of 4,500 tips, which we all learned about this man's behavior. They're not allowing them to do real investigations into some of these authoritarians they're stuffing on the bench, or they're trying to put them on for a lifetime. I hope we revisit Kavanaugh and get the chance to impeach him. They would have already had a Whig Party moment if there was anything closely resembling sort of, fair elections. It's that already they've so benefited from the way our Senate and our Electoral College is set up, an accident, you know, history that's benefited them. And then you add on top of that all the anti-democratic measures they've taken. It's the only reason that they even exist in the form they're in today. I mean, they're a clear minority of the country. You know, they hail from, in the end, the most productive states by GDP and every other measure in this country, health and everything, are all Democratic states. I mean, they're the sort of the rump end. And so, yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is if any of those sort of that house of cards falls so that they're not able to get themselves elected by drawing their own district lines or, you know, they can stop places like Puerto Rico and D.C. and, frankly, a number of our other territories, U.S. Virgin Islands, all these places that absolutely deserve to have U.S. senators, not just because of partisan politics, they deserve it because they deserve representation. We're deciding on things like whether they should get funds after hurricanes hit, whatever, and they have no vote, which is ridiculous. I think we're a little bit past the time of territories being, you know, culturally acceptable. So, I mean, you know, but that's why they're trying to stop all of that, because the truth is that if people are represented in their actual views, and, you know, they have no chance. They clearly are the Whigs right now. They're just finding levers of power and anti-constitutional methods to hold on. So one of two things, you know, one of three things will happen, right? They'll massively change, which I don't see happening. They'll be absolutely destroyed and become the Whigs, as you just said, or will no longer be a democracy. Those are really the only three choices I can see here.
Well, and I'll get back to the 1-6 Commission here, but I guess this brings up an interesting question. If you – okay, there are in the suburbs of America – there are a lot of moderate Republicans who very apprehensively have gone with Trump because that's just the way they are. They're still in love with the Reagan mentality of you always follow the leaders of the party, that sort of thing. But here you've gotten to the point now. It's like, what was the rumor today that Biden was denied access to the White House on the inauguration day? He's been living in a fake version of the White House on Tyler Perry's property down in Georgia. This is what these people say. Isn't there value in, if you're a suburban Democrat, finding your neighbors who are the old school Reagan moderates and going to them as, this is your party? This is your party that you're not even welcome in anymore. You're still going to vote because, let's face it, if we start making the moderates Republicans realize that party is no longer representing them, that's going to create a lot of problems, not only here in Minnesota or in Ohio where you're at, but across the country, especially when it comes to in states where they need the suburban vote to go Republican to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, but the thing is I don't know if you're seeing it, you know, in the suburbs, I think you are, Minneapolis, but look, I've seen it here already. You know, I live in an area, and I don't live, technically, I live in a part that's a part of the city of Cincinnati, but it really very much is like a more suburban outer ring area. And there, you know, I've seen it here with all the folks that were Romney Republicans, you know, a decade ago, who now, I mean, some of the people I knew and who I thought were ardent Republicans then want nothing to do with that party. I mean, and again, this isn't sort of a, hey, one or two people. This is dozens of people I know, including in this case, in one case around here, the wife of a former sort of county official who actually was on a statewide ballot at one point. I know, who I know personally, is voting straight Democrat. You know, like they've lost all these kinds of executives that would be in a place like Procter & Gamble or Kroger, some of the big businesses here, which I assume, you know, up there, maybe it's Target or whatever.
3M, 3M, Target, Best Buy. Those are our main ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like those kinds of executives, I mean, everything that they are for in what they do, which is why there's big war against, you know, why the Republicans are now attacking companies, even though they have always claimed to be the party of private enterprise. All the things that these companies are for, equality and protecting the environment, the Republicans are so anti-science and anti-progress and all of these things. It's a complete mismatch. And I mean, again, no, I mean, we've just started the premise we never talk about, which is how many votes they've purged to manage to win elections they shouldn't win over the last 30 years. You know, close elections probably in some places they should have lost. Certainly presidential ones like Bush and Trump. But you know what? Like, it's local officials, it's statewide officials. And as they lose more and more people, if they can't keep doing this stuff, they will be the Whigs. Because at this point, like, they don't seem to be able to get out of their own way. And again, to bring it back to where this began, the 1-6 Commission is a perfect example. Can you imagine if, you know, 50 Republicans in the House, all the ones at least who didn't vote to overturn the election results, stood up and said, we absolutely, you know, the ones that voted in favor of the committee, instead of just voting in favor of the committee, basically stood up as a unit and said, like, we won't support anything else you do unless we have this committee. this committee is you know, integral to our democracy, to understand what the hell went on that day, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe if they'd done that, but they won't. They're all too scared to, except for maybe this dozen or so that voted for Trump's impeachment. And so that will be interesting, too, because it isn't just Kinzinger and Cheney. It'll be interesting to see what a couple of the ones, you know, Meyer and Upton, who both voted for impeachment from Michigan. You know, a number of these folks are not just, they're not coastal. They're not going to be easy to write off. I had a feeling they'd be saying something like New York Republicans, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Again, with Pelosi Republicans is the best they could do. They're going to say, you know, Fred Upton, who's been a longtime Republican from Michigan, you know, head ranking member and chair of committees. Now, yeah, I guess he's a Pelosi Republican, too. They'll do that to you know, they'll try to do that to all these other ones. But, you know, it gets tougher and tougher when your circle gets smaller and smaller and nobody's pure enough for you.
Well, and they've poisoned the Cheney name, for God's sakes. They're trying to poison that. All right, going back to tomorrow, let's do a preview here. Obviously, if you're the Democrats, you come in, just you start showing people, you just basically play some of these you know, video, you know, montages that have been produced already, where they talk about, you know, you start a few months beforehand with Republicans saying, get to the Capitol. You start playing some of the speeches from the 1-6. You go on out there. You then start showing people breaking down barriers, beating police officers, bear spraying people, stealing stuff at the Capitol, breaking windows. And then basically at the end of it, have Trump say, "I love you. Go home." I mean, at that point, it becomes a very...
You're special.
You're
wonderful people.
Yes. Right. If you start like that, it becomes incredibly difficult for the Republicans to just kind of, oh, this was tourists. They're going to try. They're going to try everything. They're frantic. They're desperate to keep this from going any forward. What do you see coming up tomorrow?
Well, I mean, you know, I that's what I would expect. I mean, again, if I'm putting this thing together, if I'm choreographing it, the opening would be, we've seen a couple of those powerful videos. I would make it so they would literally have to leave the room. I mean, I would put together a 5 to 10 minute video of this kind of footage. And it's all out there.
Yeah.
And torturing police officers, attacking them, you know what I mean? Yelling, threatening, spraying, and all these. I mean, I might even, again, like, I would have that be what I do, what we begin with, almost like the lead, but then I would go back and show how we've built up to this, the rhetoric of Trump and, frankly, some of his acolytes. And I would bring Fox News into it, too, for that matter. Put them on trial. You know, some of the commentators who these guys are close with. But I would show how, from their side, the kind of rhetoric leading up to the 6th and the kind of actions they took, because we forget this stuff so easily. You know, most people don't even know. I wrote an article about this, about the 6th, and I wrote about how, you know, increasingly the violence perpetrated against law enforcement by Republicans. And I made a point in the article, I wrote this for the Daily Beast, an article of, like, I was looking at one from nearly a decade ago in Ohio, where there was a plan by a bunch of militia members, Ohio and Michigan militia members, to kill law enforcement and attack judges and other things, whatever. And I came across one from, like, maybe 6 months ago that I didn't even know existed, because that's how often this stuff happens. I would literally get all of those together, tying their rhetoric into these far-right groups that have planned these attacks constantly. Show what they did out in Oregon. Do you remember they took over that government building?
Yeah.
And Bundy and all that. Show what they did in Michigan, where they had a plan to kill the governor and kill police officers around her and whatever. Build all of it up. You know, I would literally have the soundtrack to all of it be what was going on, the audio of January 6th that day. And I would intersperse video that day of all the stuff they've done and said, Trump's speeches and the rest of it, inciting riot and trying to rile people up, lying about our election results, lying about God knows how many other things, and getting us to that point.
You know,
that's what I would do. And then I would interview, again, as I said, spouses, family members of some of the officers. You know, I would interview experts on terrorism and policing and other things. You know, I would interview, and I would, obviously, as many people as you get to flip who heard, saw. I mean, there's, again, I don't know. We're going to find out what Liz Cheney knows, but she knows things.
Oh, yeah. Well, they all do. The fact that, remember how many people were confronting them saying, you guys did this. There clearly was a lot of behind the scenes conversations that had gone on that these people were aware of that did not get out to the public.
Correct. I mean, we went through the timeline of it when it came out, what General Milley said, comparing the you know, fearing a Reichstag moment,
yep,
in his words, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from Trump. By the way, he needs to be on interviewed in that
committee. Oh, he will be. I think he will be.
Thank you. And yeah, of course. And then also having, you know, his comment referring to these, the ones who were the folks who were there as brown shirts and all that. Well, I started looking up some of the kind of and doing comparisons of some of the timelines of this for our show. And it's just you'll start seeing these sort of this pattern come together. So it makes sense that, for example, you know, when I say Liz Cheney knows more, it's not an accident that an op-ed appears in the Washington Post from at that time, you know, every living former defense secretary that was organized by Dick Cheney, reminding the military of what their duty is, which is to protect civilian democracy. All right. You don't just, we all the time are like, what? And when Milley was making all these warnings, we know now from this book Behind Closed Doors.
Yeah.
It was within a couple of days that Trump was firing all these folks at the Defense Department, putting his people in. Like, this stuff all lines up. Milley was seeing all of this stuff.
Liz Cheney
had to be seeing this stuff, which is why she went to her dad, or she was talking with her dad about things, which is why they wrote that letter that they wrote. I mean, it's all out there if they really want to get it.
He saw the stink coming, and he saw what they were doing. They were setting up the Defense Department to allow this a storming of the Capitol and to stand down. And yeah, it is ugly. I want to make sure everyone out there listening to us, Cliff Schechter and I, we are on the side of America. We are on the side of this country. We are on the side of the principles this country is based on, which is not storming the Capitol when you're a sore loser and you lose a frickin' election. And those are the traitorous bastards on the other side. We're the side for America. The other side isn't. Let's make sure we always keep that in perspective.
We should. I mean, again, I get so tired of this. This isn't a liberal versus conservative thing. I don't agree with Liz Cheney probably politically on almost anything.
You and I think there's like one thing, and this is it. You and I, we agree.
What I do agree with, you know, and maybe even she'd argue with me, but what my feelings are, this is an imperfect country that has done some terrible things and yet also was a beacon of hope that whose constitution laid forward a path that many other countries have followed. And so we look at the positives, we look at the negatives. Our Constitution ended up setting up a system where we could make ourselves better, and we could always improve, and we can, you know. But the key thing about it is I grew up, as you did, I'm sure, and as other people did, believing in the promise of this country, the power of this country. That's not my liberal political beliefs, of which I have too, and I'm proud of. But it's the fact that we have a constitution, we have rules, we have laws, we live by them. And if you really believe that this country is great or can be great, then you live by them too.
Yeah.
And the minute you're willing to overthrow it all, don't tell me about your patriotism.
No.
Just don't even open your mouth and go there.
Don't even talk about the flag. I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran. Don't you dare, because there are certain things you stand up for in this country, and overthrowing the government because you want to install your golden idol as king is not one of them. Absolutely. Cliff, outstanding as always. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Cliff Schechter, once again, Daily Beast, find his articles there. Unprecedented, the podcast. If you're not subscribed, I mean, you just, there's the reason why you subscribe, for God's sakes. It's just brilliant. And Blue Am Strategies, only one of the three messaging firms that worked with Joe Biden last year. They're back up working. If you have some messaging questions, I'll put out the link for Blue Amp a little bit later on. Cliff, as always, anytime you have, I always love you having you on my show here.
Well, I just appreciate you inviting me on, my friend. Thanks for having me.